When one hears Bigfoot, or Sasquatch, a few locations immediately spring to mind. The northern woods of California, various parts of West Virginia, and even the bogs and swamps of Florida. One area that may not be as readily discussed is the home of the Alamo, San Antonio. But the River City has a long and colorful relationship with unclassified apes, as do many surrounding areas. From known hoaxes to credible sightings to obsessed millionaires, Southwest Texas can rightfully claim to be another of the U.S.'s Sasquatch hotspots. Join us tonight as we examine the facts and the lies surrounding the Southwest Sasquatch. That's today on Hey Strangeness. Welcome to Hey Strangeness. My name is Aaron.
And I'm Sarah.
And we are back for episode 7.
Episode 7, two-parter.
Two-parter.
Big deal. Really cool.
Oh, excuse me. The weather is changing here, so my throat has been in a state of disarray.
Oh yeah, we just hit like low 50s is a new thing.
Yeah.
Every day, so that's, yeah.
It's a big deal for us. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. You're whistling? Do you hear that?
We live in an apartment complex.
Okay, yeah, we do. Sorry, I was thinking about El Cibon. Anyway.
I did hear it, though.
But yeah, I'm good. Finishing up preparations for CryptidCon.
I'm so excited to drive to Kentucky.
Yeah.
I'm so excited to see everybody.
Gonna overfeed the cats, put out a couple extra water bowls for them. Drive to Kentucky and see all of our fun paranormal pals. And we're also going to get the chance to meet in person quite a few people that we haven't. Is that a car alarm? I'm just trying to make a show with my wife, surrounded by my cats, on a Monday night. Is that so much to ask?
Yes.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
All right. Anyway, we're going to CryptidCon in like 10 days now.
I think so, yeah. We're right around the corner.
Oh, right there, yeah. Preparations are being made. Accommodations have been set up. I made a playlist for the road. It's about 16 hours long. I'm really excited. We're really excited about CryptidCon. Fun stuff.
Yes.
Beyond that, I'm excited to get into tonight's topic.
I am too.
Yeah. Let's see. So we promised last time that this would be a two-parter, and it kind of is, kind of isn't. Originally, I was doing research on an episode about Sasquatch sightings in Central Texas, specifically Austin and San Antonio. That led me to Tom Slick, which was a whole nother rabbit hole that I went very, very deeply down for our last episode.
Yeah, you were gone for like a week, maybe. I don't think I could keep your attention.
Like literally gone. Yeah. I left the premises.
I knew more information about a man from my city than I'd ever, in the span of, in the span of a week.
It was kind of all I talked about for a good 7 to 10 days. And if you're interested as to why, just go listen to our last episode, the one right before this. But I stumbled onto Tom Slick because I was researching Bigfoot and or Sasquatch sightings in Central and Southwestern Texas, specifically San Antonio, because that was where I started. And while I was looking into this stuff, I ran into a sequence of sightings that happened in and around the Kelly Air Force Base area in the 1970s, which is documented by Ken Gerhard and Nick Redfern in the book Monsters of Texas. We talked about that last time.
Yes.
And we kind of surveyed some people from this neighborhood to see if anyone remembered hearing about a Bigfoot sighting in San Antonio using the San Antonio West Side Memories Group. You remember that?
I do.
Yes.
It did not produce what I, or no, actually it did produce exactly what I expected. It did. I'm not gonna lie. When I asked my mom that question,
who is a, you know, born and raised from the West Side, she knows the neighborhood.
Like,
yeah.
I mean, my grandmother was born in Bexar County, like just always around that area. I think one of her first responses was like, just, you know, loca. Like, what? And I was like, I'm just asking, you know, just wanted to know. And she No.
Yeah, well, and that was the...
So when you told me the responses you got, I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, yeah, yeah.
Well, because that was how I approached it on the conversation group. I was just like, hey, does anybody remember hearing about this? That's it. And most of the people that responded just made fun of me. some of them made fun of me in Spanish. Most of them made fun of me just with emojis. Or a combination thereof.
Oh my God.
You know, but you know what? I appreciate that they took the time to respond. I think before before one of the moderators of the San Antonio Westside Memories group deleted the thread, because when I went back to
you didn't tell me that.
Yeah, I forgot
oh,
to
man.
Mention that. I went back a few days later to, you know, copy and paste all the responses so I could actually read them out. It was gone. I couldn't find it. They deleted it. I tried very hard to find it. They deleted it. So
I'm sorry.
I was a little bummed
so
about
sorry.
That.
I
yeah. I almost considered leaving the group, but I was like, no, I can still use this in the future.
I'm not laughing at you.
You are. It's okay.
No.
I mean, you got to imagine, white kid walks
down
the street in the west side and goes, anybody saying Sasquatch light? Is it like that? Like, that's not going to generate positive results. What?
I don't know.
All right. So anyway, we talk about, you know, we talked about these sightings in the 1970s that, you know, may or may not have been a Sasquatch. And some of the responses we got were people saying, oh, I heard that it was an ape which escaped from the ape sanctuary off 410.
Yeah.
And the ape sanctuary is, in fact, the Southwest Research Institute, which was founded by Tom Slick, which is kind of how I ended up on Tom Slick in the first place. You and I, or at least me,
okay.
you can tell me if you want to back me up on this, put two and two together and rightfully, justly, and accurately concluded that the Sasquatch that was seen in the 1970s in and around Kelly Air Force Base was in fact an actual Sasquatch specimen, which Tom Slick captured and was being stored, or not stored, but housed at the Southwest Research Institute. Do you remember we kind of drew that conclusion last time?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I do.
How do you feel about this idea?
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he had an actual Sasquatch.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I don't know.
This is really like, you know, 90% just being sarcastic and humorous about it. There's nothing to back this up. This is just an idea that we had while recording our last episode. But I think it kind of adds up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Awesome. So this actually brings us right up to the modern day. And we're talking 2013, not even 10 years ago. There are other Sasquatch accounts from 1975 to 2013 in Texas in various places. But the cases that I focused in on for this episode are kind of specific. And really, this episode, as I was researching it, became about more than just Sasquatch in San Antonio, which is where I started. So I'm really interested to go on this journey with you and get your thoughts on some of this stuff.
Okay. I mean, yeah, I'm excited too. I feel so small-minded when I think of how big Texas is. I mean, I know Texas is a big state. You know, drive 6 hours in any direction and you're still in Texas. It covers a lot of mass and land. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I always would hear stories about the monkeys.
The monkeys.
The monkeys from the Southwest Research Institute. So, I don't know. I'm excited.
I'm excited. I don't know where yeah. I'm with that. This is going to be neat. No. You're going on a similar thought journey that I went on when I started down this little rabbit hole. So. Excuse me. Enough to do. 2013, San Antonio, Northwest Side specifically, adjacent to SeaWorld, a man claimed to have shot and killed a Sasquatch in the current day area known as Alamo Ranch. Alamo Ranch.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I mean...
initial thoughts.
So I'm...
Can you describe Alamo Ranch for anyone listening? Who, you know, because probably not many people who are listening. Are
Alamo Ranch is a very, very now crowded area of San Antonio. It's busy, a lot of highways.
Kind of sprung from...
but from nothing. My mom said, you know, when she used to go down that way, it used to be just, I mean, forest.
And even during 2013, much of it was still in that condition, would you say?
I don't think so. I feel like parts of it, sure.
The part you and I are thinking of is Alamo Ranch, which is a couple of anchor department stores, several restaurants, small businesses which pop up and then die out fairly quickly.
Yeah, okay.
That's the main Alamo Ranch shopping center, which has existed for quite a while now.
Yeah.
And then there are sub-communities, or subdivisions rather, around the shopping center. Yeah, right behind it. In 2013, separating the shopping center, the main highways and roads which connected it, and these suburban developments, which were kind of spread out further into the hill country, there was a lot of wood space. There was a lot of green space.
Yeah.
Yeah. Undeveloped, untouched, very thick.
Texas
undergrowth. Yeah.
Texas country.
Very thick. And in 2013, allegedly, some of this is substantiated, some of it's not, a homeless couple whom were camping in the area, part of what is now known as Alamo Ranch, in these woods, reported a Sasquatch sighting. So, a known Bigfoot hunter showed up on the case and said, "Hey, I'm gonna find this thing." Allegedly, went and took statements from these witnesses, and then purchased stakes and or ribs, one of those, from the Walmart, quote unquote, across the street. And there is a Walmart across the street from where this would have taken place, the one at Calabria in 1604. Uh-huh. Yeah, so that pans at least. Ugh, I feel like I'm spoiling the fact that I don't like this guy. But anyway, hung these like raw meats from some trees and then just posted up for a couple hours. And then Sasquatch came out of the trees and he shot it and killed it and put the body on ice. And this was in 2013. You and I worked at a restaurant in the Alamo Ranch area while this was happening.
Okay.
We worked less than a quarter mile from where this is alleged to have taken place. So that kind of tells you where it is.
Gotcha.
If you recall the restaurant you and I worked at. I missed that. But anyway, the greenbelt in which this took place has since been leveled and developed. It's an apartment community now. Mm-hmm. And I'm not super fond of the shoot Bigfoot on site approach, you know? Like, there are people out there who are literally hunting for Bigfoot who want to shoot one to prove that it exists. What do you think about that?
It's gross.
You don't like it?
No, I don't like it.
Okay.
I do not like it.
Okay.
Because that means, I mean, the damage that you could do.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We have to assume that like there aren't that many of these things left. Like, endangered species for sure, right?
Well, just in general, why would you damage something that...
This isn't in my notes. I just had this idea and decided to ask you.
For example, I believe in fairies. If I saw a fairy and I shot it or hurt it to prove it was real, like, there's this thing that I've caused damage to.
Yeah.
That only very few get to see and experience. And I have been, like, blessed with this opportunity to experience something that not many people do.
No, that's I agree.
A lot.
With you.
It's a lot.
It is. It's a deeply philosophical, difficult question.
That's why I was like, why would you do this to
I'm
me?
I'm sorry. I didn't expect to go. I mean, this is going to become kind of a philosophical episode, but I didn't expect to go this far down.
Thank you. I just didn't want to brush it off because, like, that's not a small question at all because, I don't know, there's a lot to be said. I don't like that.
I don't like it either.
Simply
no.
put, I don't like that idea. I don't like the idea of killing something just to prove your point. No.
And I will say, based on the conversations I've had and the people that I'm at least tertiarily acquainted with, that seems to be the sentiment in the Bigfoot community.
Absolutely.
Like, no, don't shoot it. There are people who disagree, who think that the only way we're going to prove this thing exists is to find a body, and that the only way we're going to find a body is to create one ourselves. I get that objectively, but I don't like it. For the reasons that you named. I think you put that very beautifully. Thank you.
I'm sorry.
No, that was awesome. I really like that. I'm not editing that out. So so anyway, this guy shows up, claims that he shot Bigfoot, puts the body on ice, and then says he's going to reveal it to the world. He's going to show it to people and prove that Bigfoot exists. Now, this is a pretty dramatic headline, right?
Sure.
Like, this scene...
I feel like it would be on the front cover of... what's that tabloid magazine? The one that used to be at the
National Enquirer?
Yes.
Or the Weekly World News?
No, the Weekly World News.
Okay.
I feel like he'd be on the front page of Weekly World News.
But yeah, but I think he was. But if this was legit, if this were real, And yeah, I'm saying if already. Sorry, guys, I buried the lead. If this were real, would it not be one of the biggest news stories of the last century? A man actually shot and killed and has proven that Bigfoot exists.
Yeah, in Texas. Yeah.
Okay, so why, if you had to guess, do you think you haven't heard much about this case previously?
Because he wanted to be on the front page of Weekly World News?
Yes, because it's bullshit! Can we say bullshit together and I'll add an echo effect? 3, 2, 1. Bullshit! This guy, whose name we will not mention any more than absolutely necessary. Oh, I don't think he deserves publicity. I don't think he deserves coverage. Did his story not contribute to the larger point I'm kind of trying to make tonight? I wouldn't even talk about him, but this dude named... is a known hoaxer. And a few years prior to this incident, the 2013 alleged shooting, he did the same thing. He hoaxed a Bigfoot corpse and was trying to sell it off as being real and make money off of it. And even when this was going on, when he was giving interviews for the 2013 quote-unquote corpse that he had, he said, oh yeah, I did this once before and it was fake. I was just trying to make money. I didn't believe in Bigfoot then, but this time it's totally real, you guys. Seriously.
Like, seriously, guys, I'm super seriously.
It's all I can think about when I read about... I said his name again, is Cartman. Like, putting burgers in his ass.
Super seriously, guys, this is totally Sasquatch.
Like, do you see it?
Yes.
So yeah, claimed that this time it was 100% real, but then he refused to...
give any samples.
Yes. Yeah. No samples to any independent research labs. No real display of the body to where people could look at it and examine it. And then admitted about a year later that it was also a hoax. I don't care. I'm not going to waste any more time telling you things about... and I'm not going to say his name again. How do you feel about this case, Sarah?
I mean, I knew it was bullshit.
Yeah.
I mean, you, because I feel like you came to me and told me that story, kind of setting me up to, I guess, figure it out. But I knew it was bullshit.
I did. I wanted to tell this story. I'm sorry, guys. I wanted to tell this story really, oh, maybe it could be real. Here's the evidence I encountered. And then kind of get to the end where it's like, oh, no, this isn't true. But it just upsets me. This one upsets me a little bit. I'll be honest.
Okay.
Why? Because there's something to be said for drawing attention to a phenomena. Mm-hmm. And getting people talking about it, which you and I are talking about it right now.
Yeah.
But this, in my opinion, is something else entirely. Because you got a guy who is doing this just to make money, admits one time that he's doing it just to make money, and then tries to do it again. And I have some thoughts on hoaxes as a whole that we'll get to before the end of the episode, but I just don't like this one. I don't like this case as an example of someone pulling off a hoax. It sucks.
I don't want to talk about him anymore.
All right, let's move right along.
Yes.
So I realize highlighting this case is probably not the best idea because it doesn't do much for the concept of a San Antonio Sasquatch. But this isn't the only one within this time period. It's very much worth noting that the BFRO website, and that's the Bigfoot Field Researchers Organization, which as far as I understand it is considered a more reputable source for Sasquatch sightings on the American continents. It lists two encounters with hominid creatures in Bexar County, and most of Bexar County is San Antonio, mm-hmm. one in 2005 and one in 2014. And if we zoom out from here on the BFRO website, there is another sighting in, guess which county?
Williamson? Travis?
Both.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
There's a sighting in 1980 in Travis County, which takes place very close to Lake Travis.
Ooh.
Oh.
Weird place.
Yes. Do you recall what other paranormal phenomena are associated with Lake Travis? We've talked about them on the show previously.
Alien lights? Or mysterious lights?
Yeah, well, the UFO sighting, Baker Mayfield.
Okay, that's right.
The football player, yeah. There's some missing 411 stuff, some missing people.
Yes, that's right. Mm-hmm. The oddities.
Oddities. Phantom alligators, which turned out to be real.
Yes, they were real.
Mm-hmm. And now we have Bigfoot sightings. So Lake Travis.
That's why I said weird place. Weird. Austin is weird.
Yeah. And then there's another sighting in 2017 in Williamson County. As you predicted a moment ago, a motorist had a daytime sighting of a Sasquatch-like figure off Interstate 35. And then actually the most recent sighting, according to the BFRO website, is also in Williamson County as recently as July of this year. And, okay. You know, and they're, again, considered a pretty reputable Dang. Source from what I understand. So we've relocated geographically. We were talking San Antonio. That was kind of where our research started. And now we're ranging out to Austin. And inevitably...
Isn't too far.
Right?
Like, I mean, to think in the like, big view of Texas... I mean, this was all Texas Hill Country once. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We've populated and grown larger. So, I don't know. I guess after seeing, like, the smaller states and their forests.
Mm-hmm.
And
how vast they are.
And how vast they are in such a small space, like a smaller state. I think I've been thinking more of Texas as being bigger. I mean, I know it is bigger, but like I see it more.
Right. It kind of puts it in perspective.
Which I feel
you.
Like if you grew up in Texas, you don't really like realize how big your state is.
Yeah.
Until later.
Like, no, I agree.
I've tried to think about that. Like, do I think that there was a, that the Bigfoot knows that this was their area back, you know what I mean? In another timeline, in another...
Another age.
Another age.
What state were we in? We were driving through the mountains in what state when you looked out the window? I'll never forget this moment. This was such a cool moment. It was right after Cryptid Bash. We had been debating the existence of Bigfoot for like on and off a continuous 72 hours because we started talking about it as soon as we headed for Cryptid Bash. And we were in a state in the mountains. I think I know which one, but I want to make sure I'm right. And you looked out the window and you said, okay, he could be out there.
I didn't grow up around that, and I still, I think it was it West Virginia?
I thought it was Maine.
Was it Maine? No.
I think it was Maine.
Was it Maryland?
May have been Maryland. Well, let's take both of those states. How many Maines or Marylands could you fit inside of Texas?
I don't know.
A bunch. And I'll never forget this moment because this was the moment where you went from being a total Sasquatch.
It was Maryland. It was Maryland. Okay. It was Maryland.
You went from being a total Sasquatch skeptic.
I was not a skeptic. I just
Okay, not total skeptic. That's not fair.
I was not a skeptic. That's not
It's not fair.
That's not fair. I was not a skeptic. I didn't grow up in an area where Sasquatch sightings were widely known and publicized. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? My mom's reaction, the Facebook's page, like that's just not something we talk about a lot in this area.
Sure.
Mostly because it's a big city. Mm-hmm. And I mean, even driving out to the Hill Country, I don't know. I never saw it. I never could picture it. But after seeing the forest in Maryland, I don't know. I picture it. What if he visited at a different age, at a different time, when this mm-hmm. was all Texas Hill Country, mm-hmm. when it was nothing but trees and rivers and
yeah.
rocks, you know?
Because take the whole area of what we now know as the United States, undevelop that entire thing, cover it in mountains and woods and creeks, and that's what it was. That's what it was. And you're going to tell me that nothing's hiding out there mm-hmm. or can't be hiding out there?
Or couldn't have been
couldn't
at one
have
point.
Been, yeah. And that's kind of what brought me to this topic. I wanted to really highlight the possibility and potential reality of Sasquatch in
Texas,
Central Texas. Because we do have a lot of sightings here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. There are quite a few.
Well, North Texas is more sparse as you get closer to kind of the outer rims of Texas.
Yes.
You know, East Texas, West Texas, they're huge. And I mean, I think they experience something a little different than Central Texas. You know what I mean?
They have a lot of sightings out there.
And
especially as you get closer to Arkansas. Of course, Folk, Arkansas is the location of the Boggy Creek Monster, one of the cases of the last century. Lyle Blackburn has written more than one book about it. Small Town Monsters has covered it. There is a Folk Monster Mart, which is all Bigfoot theme. We're going to stop there on the way to CryptidCon, by the way.
Yes, I really want to this time.
We didn't make it on the way back from CryptidCon.
We didn't,
like
how we planned, because we... Yes, we did not. I really wanted
we
to.
We went really far on that trip.
Oh, my God.
So we get to Travis County. We talk about some sightings in Lake Travis, and we take another step back, and all of a sudden, we're in Round Rock. Round Rock. And I said we were going to focus on sightings that are really recent. This was in 2017.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And sightings of cryptids and unexplained phenomena come to us through a variety of sources. Very often, grainy, shaky videos on the internet from an unverified source.
Mm-hmm.
Anonymous sources.
Hipsters.
Huh?
Anonymous tipsters.
Anonymous tipsters, yeah. And even, you know, some of the most prolific researchers in the field rely on tips from witnesses mm-hmm. who sometimes choose to remain anonymous. And I don't mean to discount those. I personally believe that firsthand eyewitness accounts are some of, if not the most valuable evidence that we have.
Because it's natural to them. Yeah, I was at home and or just out on my property or, you know what I mean? And
yes.
Yeah.
So we go to Round Rock in 2017. And again, we're talking about sources of information.
Mm-hmm.
This source of information is a government entity, the Round Rock Parks and Recreation Department. During 2017, I find this one really fascinating, began sharing pictures of hair samples and footprints that were found in and around Freeman Park, Brushy Creek Trail, and Old Settlers Park.
Ooh, we've been to Old Settlers.
We have.
We have. It's really pretty.
Beautiful place.
Really beautiful place. Beautiful I've never place. Been to the other parks, but I have heard of them. I think I've been told to actually visit. What's the first one you said?
Freeman Park.
That one sounds... I feel like that one's been mentioned to me that I should go see it because it's really pretty too.
I've heard Brushy Creek Trail is really pretty. Saw quite a few pictures and videos of it while I was researching this episode. It's, beautiful stuff. Beautiful stuff. We've been to Old Settlers. And apparently shortly after these quote-unquote sightings began, signs started appearing around Old Settlers in the park that said things like, don't feed the chupacabras, and Bigfoot sighting, and warning, Loch Ness Monster, by one of the little bodies of water that's there. So Round Rock Parks and Rec not only announced these sightings initially, you know, put their name out there with it, but they also really leaned into it.
Okay.
Pretty cool. Pretty cool. In fact, here's a picture of the footprints that they posted. Take a look at that. Look at that for a sec. Tell me what you think. I'm going to pull up another piece of evidence to show you while you're looking at that. But what we have here is a picture of the footprints, right? Don't read ahead!
Well, you gave...
No, you were allowed to read ahead. That was the whole point. But look at this first impression. Go on this journey with me. I said I was going to take you on this journey with me. Okay?
Okay, all right? Okay. I'm so sorry.
First impression, you look at the picture of this footprint that Round Rock Parks and Recreation put out on their Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And what do you think? What do you think when you look at this?
It looks fake.
Okay. All right. Long story short, the footprint is almost too clear to be believable. Would you say?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And they also posted pictures of hair samples, which were just totally unidentifiable swatches of something. And it's also interesting to note that most of these pictures they posted were in black and white.
Okay.
Obscuring a lot of the details. And they also released a video on their Twitter feed and Instagram pages, which was allegedly captured by some Round Rock residents. We're going to watch it. Okay. Did you see it?
Yes.
Okay, so what we see is a creature, very ape-like in its profile, running on four legs and then rising to a bipedal sort of locomotion and then running off into the woods, right?
Okay, yeah.
Okay. In summary, government agency releases photographic and video evidence and publicly goes on record and says, hey, we think Sasquatch has been seen, and even puts some money into marketing it by putting up some signs, right? That's where we're at so far.
Okay.
I got really excited about it. I even printed out maps of the parks in question, specifically Brushy Creek Trail and Old Settlers Park. And I went into Microsoft Paint. And I circled these green belt areas, these actual physical park locations, so you could see, you know, kind of how spread out they are. And I'll scan these or something and put them on our Instagram so people can check them out. But I was trying to make the point that something could go undetected in these woods. And then the third map here that you're holding in your right hand shows both of those parks on a map of North Austin proper. And all the way here to the left or to the west, 20 miles from where these sightings were allegedly taking place, is a nature preserve, which encompasses thousands and thousands of undeveloped acres.
Yeah.
So I was trying to make the point that, hey, maybe something snuck off this nature preserve in 2017, made its way through the creeks and trail passes that you see that kind of work their way through Austin, and then was finally noticed in the Round Rock area. That's what I was going for. But this case became suspicious really, really quickly. First of all, the Round Rock Parks and Recreation Department, very shortly after announcing the initial sightings, announced a Bigfoot hunting event where for $5 a piece, participants could go on what basically amounted to a guided tour of the trail system in the Parks and Recreation Department.
$5. Okay.
Further research revealed the video we just watched was actually taken in Russia in 2015, 2 years prior, and was originally purported to be evidence of an Almasti sighting. Almasti is a Russian term for Yeti or Sasquatch.
Okay.
You know, just another example of that popping up in another place in the world. So yeah, suspicious. And then in a follow-up interview with another online publication, after the hubbub had kind of died down and it wasn't in the news anymore, a Parks and Recreation person admitted that this was a publicity campaign. The idea was to get people out, get them back to the parks, generate interest, maybe generate some revenue for Round Rock Parks and Rec, but really just to get people outside.
Now that you mentioned that, it does sound like something Leslie Knope would do.
Doesn't it? Yeah, I've said Parks and Rec a lot.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
that's what I'm thinking of right now, is like to engage and bring to life the Parks and Rec department.
Yeah, you get a bunch of weirdo blogger Bigfoot people like us out there. And
Weirdo.
There was a YouTube channel, I can't remember the name now, Gator Exploration or something like that. A couple of young whippersnapper, high school kids, I think, who did like an overnight camping trip in, or an overnight stakeout, something like that. And I believe it was Brushy Creek Trail, but they picked up what they thought was woodknock activity.
Okay.
Which is kind of neat. And this was before they admitted it was a hoax. So they probably didn't get woodknock activity. They probably got just some random noises. But it worked, is my point. It got people out. Got people interested in the parks. Got us talking about it. How do you feel about this case? What's your gut reaction to this one?
I don't know. I think it's cool to encourage the younger generation to kind of have fun with it. And,
sure.
And learn about it.
Yeah.
And be outside.
It got people into the parks. It mm-hmm. got people talking about cryptids. It got a couple of young YouTuber fellows to actually go out there and do their own research. That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. So I guess this is my question, Sarah. Is it okay to hoax something for a good cause? This is where we're going to get philosophical.
Why?
So you know. Because I really want to... Originally, this started out with me kind of trying to make the point that Sasquatch could and probably does exist in central southwestern Texas. But the more I looked into this, the more I kept running across these hoaxes, which while they were being pulled off, got quite a bit of media attention. And I really found myself asking, where does the hoax fit into the paranormal community, the search for Sasquatch, the search for extraterrestrial life? Is it an okay thing? Are there merits to doing something that is entirely steeped in falsehood? Or is there any good to this? And that's kind of where this episode really evolved.
Okay.
Talking about Sasquatch in central southwestern Texas, there's been a lot of hoax activity down here.
Mm-hmm.
I have mixed feelings on hoaxes. You could argue that they bring attention to the phenomena,
mm-hmm.
Gets people excited. In some cases.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah. Gets them outdoors. And you and I are talking about it right now. So one way or another, these hoaxes were effective. They did, at some capacity, what they were intended to do. And at least in the case of the Parks and Recreation Department in Round Rock, they had good intentions. Fucking said his name again. Ugh. Maybe I'll bleep it. Should I learn to bleep with this episode?
Yes.
What if we bleep every instance of... name. We're going to do it.
Do it.
In that case, the guy admitted he was doing it to make money. And he did the hoax once and then came back and said, but this time, you guys, I'm totally serious. I'm totally for real. Burgers in the ass. So I don't have a lot of sympathy for... I don't identify with him. I don't think he's a legitimate member of the research community. And I think he really speaks to the downside of hoaxes. Because it, one, takes credibility away from legitimate cases.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about this a little bit during our Tom Slick episode about how people, you know, falsifying evidence and also stealing evidence, you know.
Causes damage.
Causes damage.
To the future of the experience and the story.
Mm-hmm. I love that you use the word experience to describe this stuff. I really, really love that. And it diminishes opportunities for actual study because funding, public investment, just people's, you know, goodwill, positive and serious media coverage, they're much harder to come by when the field and the community are polluted by hoaxes. Especially now when the validity of information is often in question, sources need to be checked and double-checked, you know, there is... a Russian spam bot that will tell you anything under the sun, and it's probably not going to be true. So it's incumbent upon us to check our sources and to review our facts. Mm-hmm. Is it doing more harm to the community and to the field, specifically the cryptozoological community, you know, than it is doing good? I think the answer is yes, honestly.
Okay.
I think it does. And I feel really, really strongly about this. It's disrespectful. It's disrespectful to the people who are out in the field, often putting their safety mm-hmm. on the line mm-hmm. because they genuinely believe that these creatures could exist. And I'm not any kind of an investigator. You know, I'm not out in the field. I'm not spending money on equipment and taking time off work to go camping in the Adirondacks and you know, try to pick this stuff up on camera. I'm not doing that. But I've been very fortunate and blessed or lucky or whatever term you like to have, you know, become affiliated with a lot of people in the last few months who mm-hmm. are doing this. Mm-hmm. And they genuinely believe this stuff. Like, these are educated, rational, sensible, down-to-earth people who have had experiences and had sightings and who are now willing to put almost everything on the line at not even the certainty of proving these things exist, but the possibility. Mm-hmm. So for somebody to come along and be like, I know you guys are out there trying to make a difference and find actual evidence and doing a really good job of covering this stuff from a scientific standpoint, but I'm just going to make a fake corpse and try to sell it. To me, that really, really sucks. And that's why I think is a garbage guy. And he's still alive. I don't know where he's at these days. There's a fair chance, maybe at some point, not a fair chance, but it's not impossible he could hear this show one day.
Who cares?
Who cares, man? Sorry. Like, I don't like to be overly negative. I like to give people credibility where it's due, but like, stuff like this hurts the field. That's what I believe. That's the conclusion I'm coming down on. So when I started taking notes for this episode, I was really hoping to make the point that Central Texas is a place where Bigfoot can and probably does hang out. And I still think we succeeded in making that case. If by merit of nothing else than the BFRO sightings in Bear, Travis, and Williamson counties, and the fact that there are so many sightings in more northern parts of Texas with plenty of uninhabited land between those places and the areas we talked about today. Mm-hmm. That was a bit of a run-on sentence, but do you follow me?
Yes, okay. I do.
I ended up having a lot of thoughts about hoaxes and their role in the field of the unsolved and cryptozoology and Bigfoot specifically. And whether or not there's any value to them. I think that's a question that's really worth asking.
Yeah. I think it is.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, ultimately, does it affect my belief that there could have been at one point or may have been a Sasquatch in the area? No. That's important. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry. Okay. That wasn't a complete thought.
No, I kind of piddled out of there at the end too, yeah.
I'm sorry.
So I would really like to know what our listeners think. Based on the numbers I'm getting from Anchor, we have enough listeners now that it's not a waste of time to ask, what do you guys think? So I would love to know what other people think about hoaxes and their place in the field of the paranormal, whether they're a good thing, whether they're a bad thing, whether or not it's okay to do a hoax for a good cause. I would really like to know what you guys think. You can DM us on Instagram or Twitter. You can email at heystrangeness@gmail.com. Come find us. Come talk to us. Or you can come see us in person at CryptidCon.
Oh, my God.
In just a few days.
Oh, my God.
Any closing thoughts for us tonight, Sarah? How do you feel about our discussion?
I feel good. I don't know. I'm sorry. I feel good. It was a good discussion. I like the idea of Sasquatch in Central Texas. I don't think he's out there now.
Okay.
You know.
So you did say a lot, like, could have been at one time. I feel like you made allusions to that.
Because like I said, I grew up in a very busy city, never really hearing about Sasquatch growing up. Like, it was always, you know, on Discovery or something. It wasn't, mm-hmm. it wasn't something like, oh, 10 miles outside of San Antonio. You know, that wasn't a thing for me.
Sure.
I don't know where I was going with that.
No, like, but I think it's worth mentioning that, again, we talked about how all of this, you specifically mentioned how all of this land was at one time undeveloped, wild,
Texas Hill Country.
Deep wilderness. Yeah, like, yeah. And parts of it still are. Mm-hmm. So I really like the concept that, hey, even if there isn't, you know, a representation of this thing in a part of the modern ecosystem today, That was a really roundabout way of saying if they still exist.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, but they're out there. They're there.
It still exists in the oral history of a lot of people, and there are still a lot of sightings. While there may be fake sightings and there may be some known hoaxes out there muddying the waters, there are still sightings which are purported to be sincere. And kind of like with Dogman, there's an oral history to it as well. Mm-hmm. That goes back pretty far. Tom Slick believed in it enough to finance millions of dollars in expeditions. Interesting that he didn't pour more money into researching Sasquatch in Central Texas, though.
Or Texas at all, even.
Mm-hmm. That we know of.
That we know of.
We do know a lot of Slick's records were lost after he died, but interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting concept all around. Thank you for going down this road on this journey with me.
This was fun.
Thank you.
It was fun.
I've been very eager to get this stuff out of my head. Join us next time after CryptidCon. There's no way we're going to record again before we go travel. Join us next time where I will once again go back on my word. I'm not to be trusted, everyone. And we will talk about...
Chupacabra!
I said we wouldn't do a Chupacabra episode until we figured out what the hell a Chupacabra is, but thanks to Paranormality and the Cryptozoology Club and all of our friends in the paranormal community, the campaign to rename the Texas Chupacabra is currently underway.
It is.
It's going well.
It is.
There is one more bracket in the initial round of voting to choose the finalists, and there will be a final bracket shortly after that. Down to the last four or five choices, I forget how many right now, where we will all collectively, as a community, rename the Texas Chupacabra. There is a possibility that prominent individuals and or individual might endorse this concept once all has been said and done. It's a possibility. I won't say anything more than that. I don't want to misrepresent anything or anyone, but that's something that's being talked about. So just help us rename the Texas Chupacabra. It's long overdue. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yes.
Sayonara, minasan.
Bye.
Adios. How do you say goodbye in Italian?
Ciao.
Ciao.